So every one of us that's born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, we're governed by God, not our emotions, not the people around us who tell us what to do and how to do it. And because everybody knows what you ought to do. Nobody knows what they should do, but they always know what we got to do. But you know who is the one oversees us, who governs us? God Almighty.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse, through the Bible. Beginning in Genesis chapter 50, Joseph mourns his father's death and his brothers plead for forgiveness. Here's Pastor Bob.
In chapter 50 begins just like this. And Joseph fell upon his father's face. Jacob is there in the bed. He has just died, Israel. And he wept upon him and he kissed him. His dad died. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, these Egyptian physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, verse 3. For so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. 70 days. Took 40 days to embalm him. And they mourned the whole time, 70 days. And when the days, verse 4, of his mourning were over, were finished, were past, Joseph spake to the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying this, my father made me swear, my father made me promise, saying, lo, I'm dying. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shall you bury me. Now, therefore, Joseph asked permission from Pharaoh, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come back again. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury your father according as he made you promise. Jacob loved his father. You've seen it. When he was a child, he was faithful. He just loved his father. Jacob is a type of Jesus Christ. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. And he's one of the most faithful people in the scriptures. Have you noticed that, reading through about Joseph? And that you could throw him in the trash. You could throw him in prison. You could throw him in a deep hole. I'd be whining and fighting and screaming and probably be mad at God. You wouldn't, I'm sure. But Joseph trusted the whole time. And you know why we can't do that? Because we have chosen to not do it. It's that simple. It's faith and faith alone. He's a type of Jesus. Look at what Jesus went through for you and for me, only for us. He did not do it for himself. It wasn't required. He just did it. And Joseph loves his father, and he weeps at his death, and they embalmed him. But notice it takes quite a while. The embalming process is so complicated and so technical, it usually took at least 40 days. The Egyptians actually mourned for 70 days for Joseph's father, Israel. The Egyptians mourned, and you think, wow, they didn't even really know the guy that well, did he? No, did they? No, they didn't, because he was over in the land of Goshen, and you know, they didn't want to be around shepherds, so they kept their distance. But remember, Israel has the most beautiful land in all of Egypt. God did all that. 2.5 months mourning for Joseph's father, Israel. 2 days short. 2 days short. 70 days is how long they mourned. 72 days was the official mourning period for any pharaoh that died. The highest and the most important in the land. The Egyptians mourned Israel. Why? Because he was Joseph's dead. Now that's supposed to impress us, and it should. It should, and I hope it does. that shows an amazing respect and an amazing gratitude that the Egyptians had for Joseph. And because of Joseph, they had the same respect and gratitude for Joseph's family. They're going to forget Joseph very quickly. I've read on. They're going to forget what he has done. After that mourning period is done, Joseph asked Pharaoh's permission. Joseph could have just said to Pharaoh, I'm going, I'm going to take him there, and when I get done, I'll come right back. But no, he, even though he's second in command, he still respects the position. He respects Pharaoh, and he said, would you give me, I'm asking permission if I could go and bury my father in the land of Canaan, to bury him with his family, with our family, in the cave at Machpelah. He asked for permission to do it, and what did Pharaoh say? By all means, please do that. Go and bury your father. And Joseph, verse 7, he went up to bury his father. And with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh. So you got all kinds of servants going along with him here from the house of Pharaoh. The elders of Pharaoh's house and all the elders of the land of Egypt, all the dignitaries are going out over there to Canaan. Pretty good long trip. And they're going to go up with Joseph and all the house of Joseph, you know, all the house of Israel, in other words, his brethren, his father's house, only their little ones and the flocks and the herds were left in the land of Goshen. They leave the little, the really ones that are just too little to understand what's going on, too little to travel. They can stay home and keep playing in their house, and you know, someone will keep an eye on the sheep and stuff. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. So they not only did they take everybody they could, and the leadership of the land, the royals and the officials and all sorts of people, but they also took, I mean, and of course, all of Jacob's brothers and family, except for the little children, they also took chariots and horsemen, so they were protected. You got chariots and horsemen. They've got a military escort, and nobody in those days stood in Egypt's way. So it's like a procession they got going on. It's a big deal. They came, verse 10, to the threshing floor of Etad, which is beyond Jordan, just the other side of Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, sadness, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. Now, they did all that for 70 days back in Egypt, but now they're just taking a week to basically say their farewells. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Etad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded, for his sons carried him to the land of Canaan, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for possession of a burying place of from Ephron the Hittite near Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, and he and his brothers and all that went up with him to bury their father after he had buried his father. Quite a trip. Once they got there, 7 days of mourning, getting ready to bury him there in the cave of Machpelah. The whole family, except for the kids. And they mourned in Canaan for 7 straight days. That's one full week. And the people of the land, the Canaanites, watched, and they're not sure what's going on here, but those are Egyptian military guys. Those are Egyptians, some of the top officials in Egypt. They say, this is some kind of Egyptian something. We don't really get what's going on around here, but they're amazed at the length of the time that they mourned. They're impressed with it. So they gave the place that's just on the other side of the River Jordan, they gave it a new name, Abel Mizraim. It means the meadow or the mourning of the Egyptians. The sadness in the meadow, the mourning of the Egyptians. They gave it a name. They all then returned back to Egypt. What happened to Jacob, who was called Israel? He died. I know. Well, you say, so what? So we're thinking we're not going to, and he did. And he was chosen by God. Chosen by God. So was Abraham. And you know what? He died. So was Isaac. And what happened? He died. Jacob's dead. And we need to see this from God's perspective. We've seen the death of Abraham, seen the death of Isaac, seen the death of Jacob, Israel. And we see something from God's perspective. Hard to have God's perspective if we're not going to figure it out. God has to show us his perspective. Show us what he sees, or we'll never know what God sees or how he sees it. How many people, maybe you, I don't know. So many people think that death is a mistake, even to this day. Well, I think they didn't eat right. I mean, boy, if you had a nickel for every time you heard that. People think that death is a mistake, and or sometimes it's an accident, and if you could find a way to live right, there would be no death. And I think maybe modern medical science is sort of thinking that way, or trying to think that way. Somebody's looking for eternal life. So is death a mistake? Is it an accident? Is it avoidable? We're doing everything we can to avoid it now, aren't we? We may not think like that, but that's what we're doing, and that's how we're told to live. Just talk to your doctor for 2 minutes. You're too chubby. I only weigh 3 pounds. Okay, get down to 2. You'll probably live longer. What does God say? What is God's perspective? Did he love Jacob? I can quote you a scripture that says, Jacob have I loved. Do you think he loved Jacob? The answer is yes, he loved Jacob. He did. Do you think he loved Isaac? He did love Isaac. Do you think he loved Abraham? Do you think he loved Leah? Rachel, remember them? You think he loved them? Do you think death is a mistake or an accident? We heard about it. In the Garden of Eden, the promise that if they would sin, they would die. Death. And I'd say they were pretty healthy and eating right in the garden. What would you say? Probably. What's my point? The world thinks we can do away with it. Sometimes the impression I get from believers is, we can avoid it. We can push it out a little bit. We can avoid it. But you know, God's perspective is death is an appointment. Death is an appointment, and you have it. I have an appointment. I won't miss it. You have one. You're not going to miss it. And at that appointment, we will bow down and call Jesus our Lord. Every knee will bow. We'll bow down before the Lord. He is our God and our Savior. We already have. By grace through faith, we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Death is not an accident. Death is not avoidable. Death is an appointment. Every one of us has an appointment. Whether you are a believer and believe Jesus Christ the Lord, or whether you're a non-believer and you say there is no God. I worship the hummingbird. I worship the plants and the stars. Hey, you have an appointment. We all have an appointment with the Lord, our God, our maker. In the New Testament, you'll see Jesus tell a parable about a guy who had a bunch of land, and he had big barns and everything, and he had such a bumper crop. He said, I don't even know what to do. I've got so much here that I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. You will just build bigger and keep building bigger and make it bigger and bigger. And God says, you fool, tonight your soul, the language in the Greek is, tonight your soul is recalled, just like a car. Tonight your soul is required of you. Who's going to get all the barns? Doesn't matter to you, because your soul is required of you. It's an appointment. And every one of us has the appointment. So does Joseph, you'll see. I don't want to ruin the chapter for him. So does Joseph. And God, did God love Joseph? Yes, he did, and blessed him out of his socks. But he's got an appointment, and it's written in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, that tells me a couple of things. You have an appointment, so do I. I will not miss it, and you will not either. You won't cheat death. You won't slip around it somehow unless we're raptured. We have an appointment. And it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, which destroys the teaching of reincarnation, doesn't it? It's appointed unto mankind once to die. How many times? Once to die. You're not going to come back as a kumquat, a paperclip, or the Virgin Mary, or whoever. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and you're going to bow. You got to be ready for that. You have to be ready. I have to be ready. You say, that scares me. No, it's not a scare. This is the truth. You're not afraid. You're not going to get around it. I mean, eat as best as you can. Work out. Do what you got to do. You know, pull your hair. Whatever works for you. I'm not, yeah, I know. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't eat well. Eat well. I'm telling you. Death is an appointment. Abraham, Father Abraham, trusted the Lord, walked with him 100 years, and he died. Jacob, 147, he died. God's perspective is, it's an appointment. The world's perspective is, maybe we can get around it. Maybe we can push it off. Maybe we can move it a little bit, just kind of move the finish line. So don't fall for that. Come to Jesus Christ today. Don't push it out there thinking, we've got time. Don't worry about your time. Serve the whole time you're here, and you'll be busy, and you won't be concentrating on anything but serving the Lord. But look at this now. We move on. Verse 15. Now, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead. Now, he's all buried, and they're all done. Now, they're back in the land of Egypt. They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. Finally, dad's dead. Joseph probably didn't do anything to us because he loved our father, and we're his sons, and Joseph thought, I can't do anything. So they're just thinking that Joseph is a weasel. Well, it takes a weasel to know a weasel. And they were weasels, weren't they? And every time you say, that guy's this and that girl's that, you know where you're getting that? That's from your own experience, because that's what we all are. So it's best to leave that alone. And listen, they said, Joseph will peradventure, or for sure, hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did to him. He's going to make us pay for what he did to him. In verse 16, and they sent a messenger to Joseph. They didn't go talk to him. They're a little afraid now. They said, your father commanded before he died. They send this to him with a messenger and a note. Your father, we forgot to tell you this, Joseph, but your father, before he died, said, so shall you say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of your brothers. And their sin. Forgive their trespass. Forgive their sin. For they did unto you evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And what did Joseph do? He wept when they spoke to him, when he got that message. The father's dead and buried. Joseph's brothers think he's just like them. You hear that? They think he's just like them. What do I mean? They're speaking from their own hearts. Let me put it another way. If somebody would have done to me, their brothers are saying, the way we did to Joseph, if someone did that to me, I'd get them back. I would. I'd find a way. If they hurt me, an eye for an eye, many teeth for a tooth. I'd just do that. And they're assuming that his heart is the same as theirs. So they just sort of lie a little bit Just a little. It's just a teeny, teeny white lie. Everybody does those, and so that makes a white lie okay. That's what I hear. White lies are just okay. You know what they're saying? They know that they're guilty. They know that they deserve punishment for what they did to their brother. They know it. Have you ever sinned? And you know, you can't pay for that. You can't go back and fix it. You can't take back anything you ever said. It's said, it's gone. There it went. And they say, we're as good as dead. We are as good as dead. He's going to get his revenge for sure. Now that dad is gone, Joseph is only keeping us alive because it would hurt our father's feelings if he put us in prison or tortured us or put us to death one at a time or threw us in a big hole and left us there or whatever. They're speaking from their own hearts, everybody. That's what I would do if I were him. Listen to the hearts of these boys who are actually now men. If someone sold me into slavery, left me there to suffer and die, separated from my family, I would get them if I could. So sure, that's got to be what Joseph's thinking. So they sent him a note. I'm paraphrasing. Oh, by the way, we forgot to tell you this. Yeah, before Dad died, he asked us to let you know this. He asked that you please forgive your brothers for the terrible things they did to you. Forgive your brothers, Joseph, because we are servants of the God of our Father. What was Joseph's response? Joseph wept when they said those things. Do you remember that Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ? The word used here, same as in the New Testament, just a Greek word as opposed to here, a Hebrew word. Joseph wept. It's baka or baka. Not to wail out loud and be yelling and out of control, screaming and crying. Instead, it means to be hurt deep in your soul, to be hurt deep in your heart, brokenhearted, and there would be tears running down his face, but it wouldn't be loud. That's what the language, Joseph wept. Didn't we see Jesus do that? We did, didn't we? I remember in John 11, when Lazarus died, Jesus let him die. Jesus waited until it was too late, knowing it was too late, knowing that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. Why? He's God Almighty. Death is God's over. He conquered death. I mean, he's got this. He is God Almighty. So Jesus knew what he was going to do, but nobody else knew what he was going to do. And how would you feel? That was your brother, and you loved your brother. What about that? When Lazarus died, Jesus wept, but there was not this wailing and crying out loud. People just said, look, Jesus is crying. Look how he must have loved Lazarus. It's the same idea that Joseph's doing right here. Jesus was just brokenhearted because he saw the helplessness of all those people around him. Martha, Mary, the friends of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, the friends of the family, just weeping. And Jesus wept. It just tore his heart. It broke his heart because of the ugliness and all the confusion that's going around and the helplessness of the people. Sin destroying and ruining lives, even causing death. That was Joseph's heart because his brothers were afraid of him. It just breaks his heart that they don't really understand. He loves them. Look at the people who have rejected Jesus, even there, and Jesus only loved them. That's all he ever did. He only loved. Even a rebuke that he did was done in love. The most loving in all eternity rebuked the hypocrites. Not because he said you can't go to heaven, but you will not go. You refuse to go. You won't turn. And he made it so clear and so simple.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtice, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel.